Hey, guy. What's with the crew cut, huh?
Didn't you hear the shepherd? Today's the day we get sheared.
Sheared?
Yeah.
I can't get sheared. It's almost winter. I'll freeze.
Why are you worrying about winter?
Oh, yeah, right. Why am I worried about winter? We're not going to live to see it anyway.
Will you stop worrying? The shepherd has been taking care of us for years. Can't you trust him by now?
It's easy to worry about things we can't control.
So I can't worry about what darkness is doing. I can't worry about what evil is doing. I need, as a citizen of God's kingdom, to be doing what I should be doing and spreading light and being salt and spreading truth and spreading love and spreading righteousness. I'm not worried about what the other kingdom is doing. What am I doing?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. There are two kingdoms one can subscribe to, and only one that offers the joy and peace we so desperately seek. And this week, Charles Tapp shares a brand new message you may need to hear in a time when many of us have plenty to worry about. With his message, A Tale of Two Kingdoms.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. If these words sound familiar, it's because they're part of one of the most famous lines in all of literary history, penned by Charles Dickens in 1859 from his classic novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Now, whether you've actually read A Tale of Two Cities or simply skimmed through the cliff notes like many of us did in high school, I'm sure that you're at least familiar with this famous title. Although A Tale of Two Cities is a story about two European cities, that of London and Paris, during the late 18th century, while in the midst of a tremendous revolution, its overall theme is that of having to learn, having to cope with the dualities that exist in our world. Dickens painstakingly points out these two realities by bringing to his readers' attention the differences reflected in these cities by making the point that although there is light, and light does exist, this light does not reign supreme, but rather it is forced to exist side by side with the forces of darkness. Although our message today will not be about A Tale of Two Cities, it will be, though, about A Tale of Two Kingdoms. And just as it is in Dickens' novel, the challenge will be the same, and that is for us to learn how to live in an environment where there are two kingdoms, two powers, both vying for our hearts at the same time. So I want to take us back to a portion of our scripture reading that was read earlier from Matthew chapter 6, as we know this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, but I only want us to focus on verse 33 for right now. But seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things, Jesus then says, shall be added to you. About 2 years ago, I believe it was, I preached an entire series on this topic, the kingdom of God. But just to remind us, I want to share with you that the idea behind the kingdom of God, kingdom, balasia in the Greek language, is all about reign. It is all about the possession of power. It's all about rulership, the one who possesses the power, and it's all about the ruler, the one who holds the authority to exercise that power. And although the focus here in verse 33 is all about the kingdom, the emphasis must invariably be placed on the third word, and that is God. For Jesus makes it clear here that this is not just any kingdom that he's talking about. This is not just any authority that he's making reference to here. This is the kingdom of God, and it's all about his reign and his power, and it's all about his authority to exercise that rule and to exercise his power. And as I've shared before in talking about the kingdom of God, we must understand, dear friends, that the kingdom of God is not so much about a place as it is about the place that God desires and deserves to have in each of our hearts. So when Jesus admonished his disciples then and us today to pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done, he's instructing his disciples, that's you and that's me, that when we invite God to have reign or rulership over our lives by establishing his kingdom in our hearts, in essence, he's saying that the fruit of that, that the byproduct of that will be then his will, his way will be done in our lives. And honestly, dear friends, let's just be honest for a moment. Isn't that what we all do want? Isn't that what we all desire as citizens of the kingdom of God, as disciples of Jesus Christ? To have his will done in our lives each and every day. I didn't say we do it every day. I didn't say we're successful, but isn't that what you want as a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, the Apostle Paul, he understood that very well. He said, listen, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But Paul understood that his desire was to do the will of God. And that's what every citizen of the kingdom of God should want, to do his will according to his word. And Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6 that if you allow me to reign on the throne of your heart, then the byproduct will be my will being done in your lives. And if the most important word in Matthew 6:33 is God, the kingdom of God, then the second most important word would have to be that of but, B-U-T, but seek first the kingdom of God. Because Matthew 6:33 begins with the conjunction but. It's letting us know that this verse, verse 33, is not a standalone verse, but this verse is connected to a bigger conversation. It's also setting up for a contrast that Jesus wants to make. So I want us to go back to verse 25 and look at it through verse 22. Look at what it says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about what? Your life. How many of you worry about your life? Raise your hand. I'm raising both. I'm guilty. I'm really guilty. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about what? Your body, what you will put on. Is not life, the physical life, more than food, and the body more than what? Clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither what? Sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you, I love this part, which of you, Jesus says, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry then about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now, if God clothes, I love the argument Jesus is presenting here. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you, we, us, me, of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall ye eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Again, verse 32. Here it is. For after all these things, Jesus says, the Gentile seeks, for your heavenly Father knows that you will need all these things. Now, although this passage is about how we as children of God should not worry, but instead, as Jesus said, put our confidence in our heavenly Father to provide the things that we need in order to live, it is also about something else. And that something else is this. It's about priorities. Please don't miss this. You see, in every kingdom, in every country, in every state, in every territory, it has its own priorities, those things that are greatly valued. And although it's clear that having one's needs definitely falls into the category of things that anyone should value, but what Jesus is saying here, that if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, that's not the most important thing. It should not be the most important thing. For listen, in the kingdom of God, which is valued above material and possessions, what is above everything, Jesus says here, is righteousness. He says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek the kingdom of God, to seek the rule in your life, dear friends, is inextricably tied to the righteousness of God. If the kingdom of God is the rule, his will of God in our hearts of his people, then every aspect of his kingdom, every aspect of his rule is derived from God's righteous character. Which means then, every aspect of my life and every aspect of your life as a citizen of the kingdom of God, dear friends, should fall in line with the righteousness of God. In other words, that which God desires. To desire anything else means we're outside the boundaries, out of alignment with the principles of God's kingdom. Now, the invitation here to seek God's kingdom is also a subtle warning on the part of Jesus for us to be aware that along with the kingdom of God, there is another kingdom that is vying to reign in the hearts of the citizens of his kingdom, and that is the kingdom of this world. And just as in Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities, there is the acknowledgement here that the presence of a duality that exists is also side by side with that of the kingdom of God, which means you and I must acknowledge, if we're part of the kingdom of God, that there's another kingdom that exists, and that is the kingdom of this world, which goes by a completely different set of rules and values than those of the kingdom of God. Not just different, they are antithetical to the principles, to the values of the kingdom of God. And Jesus alludes to this point in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32 when he said, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek, talking about the clothing and the food and all the rest. Jesus says, the Gentiles, that's what they prioritize. And if you look at the word Gentile here, the modern English word simply means those who are not Jewish. But in Jesus' context, in his use of the word, Jesus was referring here to pagans. In other words, Jesus was referring to those who either did not know God or did not worship the true God, those who were a part of another nation, another kingdom, the kingdom of this world. Please do not miss this point today. What he's saying here is that although some of us may be part of his kingdom, we are behaving as if we are part of the kingdom of this world. Did you get it? Jesus says, listen, when you're overly concerned, overly anxious about these material things, although you're a part of my kingdom, you're not acting are behaving like a citizen of the kingdom of God who puts all of his or her trust in the king. So when you and I find ourselves overly anxious about food and material things, in essence, we are taking our trust from this king and putting it in the king of the kingdom of this world.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Tale of Two Kingdoms. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And in a time when many of us have plenty to worry about, this week, Charles Tapp explains there are two kingdoms one can subscribe to, but only one that offers the joy and peace we so desperately seek. As he concludes his message, A Tale of Two Kingdoms.
And here is what we as believers must come to grips with, and that is that there are two competing kingdoms in our world. There is the kingdom of God, which is epitomized by things like justice, things like righteousness, things like love and grace and truth. And then there is the kingdom of this world, dear friends, ruled by the enemy of our soul, which stands not for justice and righteousness, but this king and this kingdom stands for injustice and unrighteousness, not for light and liberty, but for darkness and bondage. This kingdom doesn't stand for placing its confidence in our Creator. This kingdom, dear friends, this rule stands for placing its confidence not in the Creator, but in the creation, placing his or her confidence in ourselves and what we can do for ourselves, placing our confidence in governments, placing our confidence in politics above placing our confidence in the kingdom of God. Listen, one of the greatest challenges you and I will ever face as citizens of the kingdom of God is recognizing that we are forced to live in a world where we are constantly confronted by the forces of the kingdom of this world. And if you don't recognize that in the times in which we currently live, I don't know when you will. For there's so much going on in our world today, and it's not about politics. It is not about government. It's about a battle between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. It is about the great controversy, the battle between good and the battle between evil, a battle between the principles of God's kingdom and a battle between the principles of the kingdom of this world. And Jesus says, listen, when you are overly anxious about the things of this world, you're acting not like a citizen of the kingdom of God, but you're acting more like a citizen of the kingdom of this world. This is a tale of two kingdoms, dear friends, is inevitably a tale of two choices. It's the choice our first parents had to make while in the garden, whether to eat or not to eat. It was a choice that the prophets and the people on Mount Carmel had to make when Elijah said to them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God, then serve him. If Baal, then serve him." He could have easily said, "Make a choice between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world." It was a choice that even Jesus himself had to make. God incarnate in human form had to make this choice when he was in the wilderness, tempted by the enemy, when he took him upon a high mountain and said, "Listen, I can give you all this of the kingdom of this world if you will simply bow down and worship me." It is a choice that Jesus had to make in the garden at Gethsemane when he saw the cross ahead of him, when he cried out to his Father, "Listen, if there's any way possible, this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." It's the same choice Jesus had to make on the cross when he cried out in agony, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is the same choice, a choice between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And sadly, just because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God doesn't exempt me from the forces of the kingdom of this world. That's why it's a tale of two kingdoms. That's why there's this duality here. It exists side by side. And as a citizen of God's kingdom, I've got to learn how to live in two worlds. I'm part of a physical kingdom of this world, but I'm also part of a spiritual kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God. And physically, I have to exist in the cosmos, in the world, but the world does not have to exist in me. Who says amen to that today? Listen, it is a choice that you and I must make each and every day of our lives. Who we will serve, who we will trust, and who will be the ruler of our lives. Look at this statement by one great preacher, writer, theologian, Dallas Willard. He says, "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ." Do you hear what he's saying? The greatest need is that we will truly behave like citizens of the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, "Steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence." Do you get what he's saying? Yes, there's a duality in our world today. Two kingdoms, kingdom of God, kingdom of this world. But what he's saying is, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, I need to take the values, I need to take the principles, I need to take the rules of God's kingdom into every corner of my life, every corner where I go. The kingdom of God has to be realized, has to be present there. So in my home, because I'm there, the principles of the kingdom of God must become realized. On my job, because I'm a citizen of God's kingdom and I'm there, then the principles and the values of the kingdom of God have to be felt there as well. And yes, even in the church, because sometimes church people don't act like they're a part of the kingdom of God. I want to share this last quote with you. Usually I don't put two quotes back to back, but you'll see why I did it, by R.C. Sproul. Look at what he says. He says, "The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes, and when Christ returns, we'll have the fullness of the kingdom, is if we manifest it," he says, "by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the king." Do you hear what he's saying? There can be no kingdom of God in the world without the kingdom of God in our hearts. You know, we're always talking about the kingdom of God to come. That's one part of the kingdom. That's the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of the rule of God. But the kingdom of God is in me. It is in you. And that's why when Jesus' disciples came to him and said, listen, we hear you talking about this kingdom all the time. Where is this kingdom? He said, the kingdom of God is in you. So when I allow Jesus to become a part of my life, he becomes my ruler, he becomes my king, and my life now, from that point on, has to be governed by those principles, those values, and not the values of the kingdom of this world. It is a tale of two kingdoms. So I can't worry about what darkness is doing. I can't worry about what evil is doing. I need, as a citizen of God's kingdom, to be doing what I should be doing in spreading light, in being salt, in spreading truth, in spreading love, in spreading righteousness. I'm not worried about what the other kingdom is doing. What am I doing? What are you doing as a citizen of the kingdom of God? Dear friends, the onus is on me. It's on you as a citizen of the kingdom. Wherever you are, there should be light. Wherever you are, there should be grace. There should be forgiveness. There should be love. Why? Because you're a citizen of the kingdom, and the king reigns on the throne of your heart. There's some good news. How many of us need good news? Whenever you're reading a good story, if you want to know how things end, if it's so much suspense in the story and you just can't take it anymore, you go to the last chapter of the book to find out how things turn out. That's what I did. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. If you know anything about the angels in the book of Revelation, it's about proclaiming a message. And this is the seventh. This is the last one. This is the one of perfection, meaning something is about to come to an end. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were what? Loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become what? The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall what? Reign forever and ever. And if I had written this, I would have said, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Because the kingdom of this world will not last forever. The kingdom of this world, dear friends, is quickly coming to an end. For one day, it will no longer be a tale of two kingdoms. It'll be a tale of one kingdom, and that will be the kingdom of our Lord and God. Who says amen to that today? My prayer for all of us today is that we will make the right choice. It is the same choice that Jesus made, to align himself with the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Tale of Two Kingdoms. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
But when it comes to God, dear friends, God never makes a promise to his children that is too good to be true.
Next week, we hope you can plan to listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a brand new message, Working for the Promise. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.